Hello and welcome to Season 4, Episode 2 of the Summer Library Podcast. I am Paul Srell, along with...
Stephen Mount.
Stephen Mount, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
I am doing well as well.
Well as well.
And here we are toward the end of the semester, and things are winding down for all of us.
Yes.
It's been an eventful semester.
Very eventful. It's been one of the most unique semesters since I've been here.
Yes. And in a few weeks, we will mark the end of the David S. Dockery era.
Yes. Open the Dub Oliver era.
Yes.
New chapter. Librarians would put it in the analogy of a new chapter in the life of Union University.
Would that be a reference to books, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome of you.
What we do, yeah.
That's it. That was sweet.
Try to streamline.
Anyway, we're coming up on finals week.
Yes.
And as we have done in years past, in semesters past, the library will be open until 2 a.m.
2 a.m. An extra 90 minutes for the last minute cramming.
And that will be the Sunday through Wednesday nights of finals week. And then everybody can breathe a sigh of relief.
Enjoy their summers.
Yes. And graduation is Saturday, May 17th. And hopefully the weather will cooperate and it'll be outside. Do you remember your graduation from Union?
Yes, it was in 2002. It was a cold day. It was a cold day that day, literally, not figuratively. It was like 50 degrees, I think.
Oh, wow. That is cold.
Yeah, it was a chilly one, but it was good. Everybody made it across the stage, I guess.
That's good.
And whatever it takes for a graduation to be successful.
And I bet you probably remember who spoke at your graduation.
It was the founder of Habitat for Humanity, Millard Fuller.
Look at you.
Was his name.
Yeah.
It's probably still is his name. So, yeah, present tense.
Well, on June 2nd, I graduated on a warm day from Union.
Yeah.
And it was 30 years ago
30
today.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, long time ago.
Fond memories.
Sure.
Or memories, at least.
They're memories. I've got a picture of it.
Yeah.
I have proof.
Yeah.
Yeah, graduation's always a fun time.
Yeah, it could be bittersweet.
It's a gateway. You know, you're moving from one part of your life to another part of your life, and your hopes and expectations are high. And you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, last podcast we spoke about our predictions for the World Series.
Yes.
And I was going to give you an update.
You have an update, a 1 month into the season.
Yes.
Update. Okay.
And where our picks are.
Let's see how we're doing.
Okay. Of course, you picked the Cardinals because you're a homer.
Yes.
Well, they're currently in second place.
Okay.
In the Central. They're 4 games back of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes.
And the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
Who you.
The American League pick.
That's right.
Yeah.
They have the best record in baseball.
How about that?
And they are obviously leading the AL Central. But, caveat, they have not played as many games as other teams.
Hmm.
They still have the best record, though.
Yeah.
And
I think the widest margin of any division, maybe?
Possibly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I think the AL Central is pretty weak this year. So,
yeah,
still early, but not looking too bad yet.
Not yet. My picks... Mm-hmm. The Reds are in third place in the National League Central.
Yeah. I think their entire outfield is on the disabled list currently.
I'm just I'm following.
Just look at the standings.
Yeah. I'm not going to follow them. And so that is my National League pick.
Mm-hmm.
My American League pick was the Rangers.
Yeah.
And they are third in the AL West, 2.5 games behind the Athletics.
Still in it. Still very much in it.
Yes. And my favorite team, the New York Yankees, who I, you know, kind of wrote off.
Yeah.
They are tied for first in the AL East with Baltimore. So, that's our update.
There. We're not looking too shabby yet.
Not yet.
Plenty of time for that to change.
I guess if we had chosen the Cubs, we...
I don't know if anybody really would have chosen the Cubs.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So, are you watching any TVs? TVs? More than one?
Yeah, sometimes I even turn them on.
TV shows. Any good shows?
No, I really haven't been watching much TV lately. I've seen a couple movies, but I haven't been watching any TV shows regularly. How about you?
Yeah, I've been watching a few TV series, and I have found a few that I enjoy. The Americans, that's on FX. It's about the KGB spying on America in Washington, D.C. during the 80s, during the Reagan administration. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
it's kind of brutal sometimes, but it's interesting. And then I started watching Fargo, which is also on FX, which is kind of a dark black comedy, kind of, well, it is violent. It's just it's kind of odd. It's kind of odd.
Loosely based on the movie?
Yeah. So I think maybe some of the inspiration is the same, but I don't think the characters necessarily are.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's not really my kind of show, but I'm going to give it a chance.
Interesting.
Yeah. The other night I was watching something on CNN, Morgan Spurlock, Inside Man. You know who he is?
Supersize Me.
Right, right.
Documentary.
Yeah. Well, he's got a show, and he goes around and does these different things. Like, one, he's a preacher, and one, he's paparazzi, and so I guess he kind of sees how things work from the inside. Well, this one was about our surveillance society and how you're tracked on everything you do online, and it was just kind of interesting, kind of scary how much information these companies keep on us and how difficult it is to see what they have on us, and with cameras on every corner and the advent of Google Glass and things like that, that, you know, our privacy is eroding.
Yeah. So, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of creepy that these companies have so much information on us.
Yeah. Yeah. I did see a preview for a new show coming out in the fall called Gotham, which is a pre-story to Batman. The Batman movie is kind of a dark-looking show, kind of like the most recent Christian Bale, Christopher Nolan movies, and kind of tells a story of the origins of some of the characters, like Penguin and Catwoman and
What network
Bruce
is
Wayne
putting
himself.
That out? You don't know?
No.
Okay. We'll look for it.
Yeah.
We'll have an update.
Google it. It's on Google.
Yeah, and then they'll know that you're looking for that show.
That's like Gotham.
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 Coming this fall.
Yes.
And let's see. There is a series coming out on CNN about the 60s. It starts at the end of May, which that was the decade I was a child. And so that'll be interesting. So there's some good TV
out
there.
There's some stuff. There's some few good shows.
Yeah, there's a lot of junk.
Yeah.
But there's good stuff if you look for it. And what about books? You reading anything interesting?
Recently read Life of Pi.
Yeah.
It was good. I'd seen the movie first, but wanted to read the book. It was very similar. Just checked out Maze Runner, which is another popular book that's going to be turned into a movie if it hasn't already. I'm not sure, but have not yet started that one. But those are a couple that I've read recently.
Yeah, sounds good. I've got to find something to read for summer.
Yeah.
You know.
You work in a library, so that shouldn't be a problem.
And we have a really good Rec Reads section, which is right across from the circulation desk. And so I think I'll peruse those shelves.
I'm sure you'll find something good.
I'm sure I will. And I'm sure that you spend a lot of time reading journals and scholarly articles from databases, don't you?
Constantly.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You look like that type. Well, speaking of serials and databases and all that other stuff, Jeannie Bird is our guest today.
Indeed.
And we will be talking to her in a few minutes about what she does and all those things that can be found on databases and electronics resources. And we will be back right after this to talk to Jeannie Bird.
Hi, this is Melissa Moore, and I am a research coach here in the library. Don't be overwhelmed when faced with research. You just need someone who will help you with the process. That's why we have research coaches, So don't give in to frustration or settle for less. Contact a research coach today.
Jeannie Bird is with us today. Jeannie is the Associate Professor of Library Services and the Serials and Electronic Resources Librarian at the Emma Water Summer Library. Jeannie is a graduate of Union University and also has a Master's of Arts from the University of Mississippi and a Master's of Science from the University of Tennessee. Jeannie, it is nice to have you on the show today. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you for having me here today.
Absolutely. And besides all these things that you are on paper, you're just a nice person to have around.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome so much. So have you had a good semester so far?
Well, with everyone else, this has been an unusual semester, and I think we're all grateful that it's coming to a close and hopefully successfully.
Yes, and we're just a few days from graduation, so we have a summer to look forward to. Any big plans going on in Serial World in the summer?
No, we pretty much wrap up our work budget-wise in the summer and look forward to starting all over again in the fall.
You've been doing your job here in the library for about how long?
It's been about 14 years.
About 14 years? Really?
12.
Just adding a couple of years to your life here.
Well, I've been at Union for 16.
Okay.
So four of those years were in the English department, and then 12 has been in the library.
Really?
Yes.
It doesn't seem that long.
Time flies.
It really doesn't seem that long. Wow. You know, for a period of time during my tenure here at Union, I was doing serials.
Yes. You trained me.
Oh, I did. Forget everything I ever told you.
I already have.
Thank you. No, but you took over and just made that your own and have done a great job.
Well, I've enjoyed it.
Well, good.
It has spoken to my inner accounting self.
That's right.
Self.
And you and I have something else that we have in common. We were both, at different times, the bookkeeper at Davis Kidd Booksellers.
Absolutely.
How about that? And I didn't know you at that time.
No.
And I just knew of your reputation. And you know, everyone really thought you were a stickler there for everything.
Yes.
And you would hunt them down even if there was a penny short or something like that.
I did. In fact, someone gave me a stamp that said, "The Queen has spoken."
See. And who would know just a few years later we would be working together.
Right. And I hope I've mellowed some since then.
Oh, yeah. You're chilled.
Okay.
Now, so in your time here, how much has changed in what you do in serials and electronic resources, because I'm assuming that a lot has changed in 12 years.
It has. We have gone from print to electronic journals in abundance. Our print has shrunk, and while the print subscriptions have shrunk, the electronic journals have increased, as well as the databases. Also, the idea that a database would be just journals is now erroneous. We've got streaming video. We have streaming music. We have Art Store, which is a database full of illustrations and artwork. So the idea of a database being nothing but journals or abstracts and indexes of a journal, all of those things have exploded.
Right. So it's really multimedia.
It is.
Now.
It is.
And what percentage of, I mean, do we have more electronic resources now than paper subscriptions?
Yes, we do. Our print, with every year, our print is shrinking.
Right.
And the electronic is taking over. The other thing, which it may not be so good, that is also increasing is the prices. Prices have gone through the roof.
For databases?
For databases, yes. They're very expensive, much more so than you might expect or understand.
Hmm. So it's not a matter of, oh, there's an article I need. I find it, boom, I print it off, and it's free to me, but somebody's paying, right?
Someone has paid, yes.
Yeah.
In the cases of about 40 to 50 of the databases we have, Union has paid.
Right.
and have paid from $1,000 to up to about $40,000. There's one database we have that's about $40,000 every year. So they are, when we make a commitment long term to mm-hmm. these databases because you do have to pay them.
Yeah. Annually. And what do you look for in a database? The collection itself, how many titles, if it's popular, or how does that process go?
All of those things, as well as whether they are supporting the top-notch journals. You don't want a lot of fluff in databases. You want something that the students are going to use, something that the faculty recognizes as noteworthy and useful in their particular discipline.
Mm-hmm.
We also look to see cost per use. So we look at usage statistics after we have a database in place. Then we go back and look to see how it's being used, how often it's being used, what the cost per use is.
Mm-hmm.
And we may make decisions on keeping or letting a database go based on those that criteria.
Okay. Now, what are the most popular databases that we have currently? And who are the big players in the electronic resources field?
Probably EBSCO. We get quite a few of our databases, especially the interdisciplinary collections that we have. Academic Search Premier is one go-to database that most of the undergraduates will use because it covers such a wide variety of the disciplines, as well as Gale is another player. Fortunately, the state of Tennessee allows us to use, there's about 100 Gale collections, as well as subsets that we get free. In mm-hmm. fact, everyone in the state of Tennessee is able to use the databases, which are Gale mostly databases.
So do all Tennessee libraries, whether public or secondary education or higher education, get those free?
Get those free, yes. And that's something that our legislature pays for. So the state of Tennessee is paying for that. So they're not really free.
Right.
That's your tax dollars
right.
at work.
Right.
Then there are some U.S. government. ERIC is the big education database that mm-hmm. Gets quite a bit of use, and it comes to us free from the United States government, as well as PubMed, which is the medical database
right.
that deals with medicine issues, medical right. issues.
With ERIC, do we no longer get the microfiche that comes?
No.
Do they even put that out anymore?
Most students do not know what microfiche
is.
They're when I show them the technology, they're fascinated by it,
right.
but it's not something that they want to use on a daily basis.
Yeah, it is kind of archaic.
It is. Although we still have some of our back files right. in microfiche format.
Right. And which leads me to this question. Do you ever see a day where we will not have bound periodicals or paper periodicals?
Possibly. The problem with the bound right now, you have to digitize that. So mm-hmm. you have to go and do back files and digitize the back files. Some databases like JSTOR,
mm-hmm.
that's their specialty. They go back to volume one of the beginning of a journal.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these are academic journals. And then they come forward. They do have an embargo. They're more interested in the back files than they are the most current. Most of them will have to, about the 1980s is when they started digitizing. So some journals have not expended the cost
mm-hmm.
to go back and do the back files.
Right.
The other problem is you may have to buy the back files.
Mm.
And that's an additional cost, although in some cases it's a one-time cost.
Yeah. Now, do you foresee the day where every journal article that was ever published would be available online? Or is that just too big of a undertaking?
I don't know that every journal article will make it, but and I think with certain disciplines, you don't really care. Some of the medical and some of the sciences, they're more interested in cutting edge, what's
right.
going on right now.
Right.
They're not as interested in what happened in 1885.
Yeah.
although some of those have been digitized and we do have access to some of those journals. I don't know that you could say that all of them would, and you might not want all of them.
Right. Any big plans for the future, anything on the horizon as far as technology or delivery or anything like that that we can look forward to?
Well, we do have Films on Demand and Ambrose Video are two of our streaming video databases that we have now that are being used, maybe not as much as we would like. Professors may use them in class. In the case of Ambrose Video, you can actually put them into Moodle rooms so mm-hmm. that students may look at a video relating to a particular topic and then apply that to some homework assignment relating to the class. So I think something like that, you'll see less the ability to have less DVDs mm-hmm. Or even CDs. We do have a music, streaming music mm-hmm. through Naxos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's classical music for the most part. There is some jazz.
Right.
So I think something like that, mm-hmm. The various different mediums are going to be highlighted in the future. Okay. But we still have journal articles are still very important to research, and I don't think that that's going to change
right.
a lot.
Right. Yeah, technology in general is just a fascinating thing to observe and how it changes and how it changes so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2 years, there might be something that we don't even know
right.
could possibly exist that exists. And yeah, and with everything going mobile now, it's just incredible
right.
how much information you can have carrying around in your pocket, basically, right. if you have a smartphone or a tablet or something like that.
Yes.
Well, Jeannie, we appreciate your time. And we hope that you have a wonderful summer.
Thank you. I hope to have a wonderful summer myself.
Yes. And
have some time off.
Please come back and join us anytime. And if there is breaking technology news, we want to hear from you first.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. And that is Jeannie Bird, the Serials and Electronic Resources Librarian here at the Emma Waters Summer Library. And we will be right back after this. We are back, and we want to thank Jeannie Bird for her time today. Lots of interesting things in the serials and electronic resources world, and who knows what will be there in the future.
Interesting new world.
It is. I always, and I've said this many times, I've always stand amazed at the amount of information and resources that is available in the world and available just really at our fingertips and what we have in the library. It's just amazing.
Right. Yeah. Now it's about discerning the best information, not about finding some information. There's so much information out there. We just have to choose what's best.
That's true. Well, I've enjoyed talking with you today, Mr. Mount.
And you as well, Mr. Sorrell.
And I will talk to you probably in the next few minutes.
Yeah.
Since we sit right across from each other.
Probably so.
Yeah. And I want to take this time to wish you a very happy 34th birthday.
Oh, thank you. I'm getting old into the mid-30s.
You are.
Ugh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Our little Stevie boy is growing up. Well, happy birthday.
Thanks.
And I hope you have a great summer. And you start classes again pretty soon?
At the beginning of June.
Yeah. So how many hours are you taking?
Be taking 9 hours this summer, 1 10-week class and 2 5-week classes.
Wow. Great way to spend a summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I'll have 5 of 12 classes out of the way.
You've got a goal
by the end
and
of
you
the
know
summer,
what you so. Need to do. So time is just time.
Yes, sir.
Whether it's
we'll do it.
Summer,
learning lots
spring,
of
fall,
interesting
spring.
Information.
Yeah. Well, good for you. You take care. So we just want to thank all those who have listened to the podcast. And we will talk to you later.